Psalm 139, having a break from Revelation for this week, as it's the anniversary. I was praying and thinking a couple of months ago about the anniversary service, what I should be preaching on, and God led me to Psalm 139. So if you have your Bibles with you, or on your iPads, your phone, wherever the Word of God is stored, please turn to it now, to Psalm 139. God knows. Psalm 139. This is a psalm of David. He says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed. And in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, there would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God! Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Well, today is the 42nd anniversary of Osaka International Church, and a few people here today know all about its 42-year history. There have been some good times, and there's been some challenging times. And over the years, many people have become Christians through the ministry of this church. Some have been baptized, and Christians have grown in their knowledge and understanding of God. The founding pastor, Jack Marshall, is still alive, and he's serving Jesus. He's 87 years old. But there's been lots of pastors here for various periods of time in the plan and purpose of God. Some of us have only been at OIC for a short time. I've only been here for nearly 2 years, and I only know personally a little of its history. But what I do know is that God knows everything about the history of Osaka International Church. because he knows that he has supported this church since it started. He knows the hearts of everybody who has come and gone and still remain at this church. And we can thank God today for his love and care of all the members of OIC through its 42-year history. And although it's good to look back and say thank you to God for all that he has done and provided for this fellowship, we must look forward to what God is going to do through his people for another year at OIC. And in order that we might be encouraged today, I've chosen Psalm 139 to preach on the subject of knowing God. God knowing us and us knowing God. In the book of Daniel, chapter 11, verses 32, it says, "But the people who know their God, but the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits." And the knowledge that Daniel is talking about is not an academic knowledge of the theology of God, although that's important. It is a personal experience of God, of working as God's servant and knowing God through the challenges of life. We all have different challenges in life, and knowing God through those personal experiences. Psalm 139 is one of the most important of the Psalms of David. And the key word of the psalm is the word know. The word is mentioned 5 times in this psalm in connection with what God knows and once in connection with what David knows. And I do hope that at the end of my message, we will know a little bit more about what God knows and be excited to get to know God better in the future. And so I'm going to divide the psalm into 4 sections. The first section is verses 1 to 6. And the heading for that section is knowing and understanding that God knows everything. It's a big thing to work out, not just in your head, but in your daily life. Now David starts the psalm with the word, "O Lord, O Lord." He does this to express his adoration towards God. David was very respectful towards God. And he wanted to start the song, because that's what psalms are, they're Hebrew songs. He wanted to start the song with the right heart attitude. And David had a holy fear of God. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge." The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. And David's knowledge of God came about because of his healthy fear of God. The life of David in the Old Testament tells us that although David made many mistakes, he had a fear of the Lord. We also learn that God was determined to fulfill his purposes through David in spite of his mistakes. Turn with me to 1 Samuel 24 and verse 10. It says this, "Look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave. And someone urged me to kill you, but my eye spared you, and I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed." Now, even though Saul sought to kill David, David would not kill Saul because God at one time had appointed Saul to be king over Israel. Yes, Saul failed and God replaced him with David, but nevertheless, David still respected the choice of Saul. That's interesting, isn't it? And we too need to have a healthy fear of God if we're going to gain knowledge and understanding of him. And in verses 1 to 6, David is acknowledging how much God knows about him. David acknowledges that God knows what he is thinking. I don't know what you're thinking this morning, but God knows what you're thinking. God knows where David is going. I don't know where you've come from or where you're going today, but God knows that. God knows what David is doing and what he's saying. In fact, God knows everything that's going on in David's life. So this morning, whatever our lives consist on, God knows everything that's going on in our life. That's why we've got to be honest with God in all our dealings. David says that this knowledge about God knowing everything is too wonderful for him. It was beyond David's comprehension to know that God knows everything. I'd like to focus for a moment on verse 5. Have a look at verse 5. David says, "You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me." That's the New King James Version. In the NIV Bible it says, "You hem me in." Now David is acknowledging that God's protecting hand is upon him. And in 1 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 14 it says, "And David stayed in the strongholds in the wilderness and remained in the mountains in the wilderness of Ziph. Saul sought him every day." Imagine that somebody's trying to kill you every day. That would be terrible. "Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hand." Isn't that amazing? God's protecting hand was upon David because God had chosen him to fulfill his purposes for Israel. So nobody could touch David. God would deal with these people who tried to kill him. David was chosen by God for his heart relationship with God. 1 Samuel 16 verses 7 and 13. What was important to God was David's heart. David had a heart for God and his purposes. And he was willing to serve God even as a king in exile. Most of David's life, his conditions were not favorable. He lived a very desperate life. But he was still willing to serve God in spite of his circumstances. He was out in the wilderness with a band of unsavory men who were prepared to serve him as soldiers. And they were scratching around for food, doing all sorts of things. And yet, he was willing to serve God and he had a heart for God. How about us? Do we have a heart for God and his work today? Or are we really concerned about what's in it for me? Do we acknowledge God's hand upon our lives, even in the very difficult challenges of life? Do we acknowledge God's hand upon our life, even when we're going through very, very hard times? We may not think that God's hand is upon us in our lives in a very special way, but I can assure you it is. Because God sent his Son Jesus Christ into the world to die for your sin. And he did that to secure a personal relationship with you. So surely you can trust the person who's died for you. Surely you can trust the God of heaven who wants this eternal relationship with you and was prepared to send his Son Jesus Christ to die on a cross for your sin and mine. Well, I certainly can, and I hope you can trust the God who sent Jesus to die for you, even though at this moment of time you could be having a hard time physically, emotionally, and maybe even financially. I want to tell you an encouraging real life story about the protection of God. There was a man by the name of Frederick Nolan, and he was fleeing his enemies during the persecution in North Africa. And they chased him over a hill and through a valley, and he had nowhere to hide. He was absolutely exhausted. And suddenly he found a cave and he went inside. He expected his enemies to find him there, but he couldn't walk any further. So while he waited in the cave for his death, he saw a large spider on the cave entrance. And it started to weave a web across the cave. The enemy arrived sometime later and wondered if Nolan was hiding in the cave. But when they noticed the unbroken spider's web across the mouth of the cave, the attackers thought that it would have been impossible for Nolan to enter the cave without breaking up the spider's web. So they decided not to enter in the cave, and they ran off in pursuit of Nolan. Well, Nolan waited for a short time, and then he burst out into praise to God with these words: "Where God is, a spider's web is like a wall. Where God is not, a wall is like a spider's web." If God can protect Frederick Nolan with a spider's web, he can also protect us. Our times and the life of OIC are in God's hands. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for that. We now come to the second section of the psalm. That's verses 7 and 12. Verse 7 to 12. David, having given testimony to God's perfect knowledge of all of his life, now moves to testify that God's presence is everywhere, wherever he goes. David is aware that there's nowhere in the universe that he can escape God's presence. To David and to us, these facts are both encouraging and challenging. And we live in a dimension that can only be in one place at one time. I can't be in Ikoma and Osaka at the same time. But God can be in Ikoma and Osaka and England and everywhere in the world at one particular time. Now, this is impossible for our minds to understand. However, it is true because the Bible says so. Although we can't see God, there are times in our lives when we can definitely feel a tangible presence of God's Holy Spirit. I hope that you have experienced times when God has got really close to you in your life. John 14 and 21 says, "He who has my commands and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." So obedience to God can often result in a manifestation of God's presence. The psalmist says in Psalm 16 verse 11, "In your presence is fullness of joy." There is no other joy or experience compared to the experience of being in the presence of God. Jesus knew that being in his presence was a wonderful thing. There is nothing more lovely than sensing the power of the presence of Jesus. And I hope that there are times when Jesus reveals himself to you in a very powerful way. Recently I had to go and pray with someone, and I really experienced the presence of Jesus surrounding us in this situation. Luke 10 verses 38 to 42 says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me.' And Jesus said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her.' You see, Jesus valued spending time with him more than serving him. You would think it was the other way around, but it isn't. Jesus values us spending time with him more than he values serving him. Yes, we do need to serve Jesus, but it's actually more important to spend time with him in prayer and reading and studying his word. However, whether we feel God's presence or not, he is there. This is also challenging because if we're going in the wrong direction or doing things that offend God, then he's by our sides. The Bible says that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4 and 30 says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." So we can upset the Holy Spirit by our lifestyle because God knows everything that's going on. You see, God is like us in some aspects. He can be hurt too. Nobody likes to be hurt or grieved, and therefore we should do our best not to grieve God, knowing that he knows and he is present in all of our situations. Well, we now move on to the third part of the psalm. This is a very exciting part for me at present because I'm praying at the moment for lots of babies in their mothers' wombs. I've never done that before. I don't know why. I know why I'm doing it now, but I've never done that. I've never prayed every day for babies in their mothers' wombs. I've always waited till they were born, but I shouldn't have done that. So I'm disciplining myself now to pray for babies in their wombs, in their mothers' wombs. Right. Third point, knowing and believing that God is all-powerful and he can do anything. When we think about God being all-powerful, we often think about miracles like the parting of the Red Sea in Exodus, the 10 plagues, the feeding of 3 million people in the desert for 40 years, but David doesn't mention these miracles. He concentrates upon the miracle of the human body. He says, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." The fact that we can start life with a seed that can't be seen by the human eye and end up like we are now is the most amazing miracle of all time. Do you know, I can take my glasses off and the human eye is absolutely amazing what we can see and round corners and all sorts of things. If you just look at the human eye, it's an amazing thing. You study the human body as some people do, and it's just an amazing miracle that out of a seed that cannot be seen, produced in the womb over a period of 9 months, we can get a little baby. As you know, my daughter Karis is expecting twins next February, and I'm praying every day for these two babies. There are also other babies being formed in the womb connected with OIC. I haven't got their pictures today, but I'm praying for those babies too. There you are. That's the womb of my daughter, Karis, after 3 months. And that was the picture. They had a bit of a shock. They went and had the scan, and they were expecting to see one baby, but suddenly they saw two babies. And even at 3 months in the womb, all the internal organs are determined. Although not mature at this stage, nevertheless, they're all there. The sex is determined, but you can't find out yet. They determine the sex after 4 months or so. Well, she's had the 4 months scan, and she discovered that she's got two boys. And you know that boys always grow taller than their mother, and Karis is 6 foot. So she's got a couple of giants growing in there. Now, we don't have time to discover all the stages of a baby's growth in the womb. But what we can do is that we can praise God that he knew us when we were in our mother's womb. And he has guided and provided and protected us ever since. Isn't that wonderful that we were once there being formed by the miracle of God? And what is even more awesome in these verses, David says, your eyes saw my substance yet being unformed. David is telling us that even before we were formed in the womb, God knew what we were like. Now that's amazing, isn't it? We can understand that because we can see it, but we can't understand that God knew what we were like before we arrived. The foreknowledge of God is an amazing thing. We think we can know the future, but we don't. Only God knows the future. Isaiah 46 verses 9 and 10 says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, from the ancient times, things that are not yet done. God telling us in the future what is going to be happening because he is outside of time. He created time. So imagine, whatever you create, you're outside of it. God created time, so he knows what's happening at the beginning and the end. Saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Acts 22, verses 22 and 23. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him, that's Jesus, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. God prepared the cross a long time ago. You have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put him to death. But God saw it in the future. His foreknowledge. Exodus 3 verse 19 says, but I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. Not even by a mighty hand. So you would think, reading the plagues of Egypt, surely after the frogs, the king would say, no, let them go. So God determined to harden the heart. He knew what was going to happen. So it's a wonderful thing to know that in spite of God's foreknowledge about us, he can still love us. Because of Jesus. That's why. This makes the death of Jesus Christ for our sins the most wonderful message in the world. Osaka International Church is kept by the power of God because it seeks to proclaim the most wonderful message of all time. And the message is that in spite of our sins and our failures, we can say sorry to God and ask for his forgiveness. And this is based upon the fact that Jesus Christ has already taken the punishment of our sins. I was reading through the book that Toyoko has translated by Rick Warren on the purpose of Christmas. And he's talking about a situation in that book where somebody came up to him and said, Rick, what can I do to go to heaven? And Rick Warren said, sorry, pal, you're too late. And he was very disappointed. You mean I'm too late? He said, yes, you're too late. There's nothing you can do. And then he explained, there's nothing you can do because Jesus has already done it. There's something for you to believe, but there's nothing you can do because Jesus has died on the cross for your sin. So maybe you're sitting here this morning thinking, what may I do? What can I do to go to heaven? Sorry, you're too late. Jesus has done it. What you have to do is to receive his love. You have to believe that he came from heaven to die for your sin. You have to repent of your sin and ask him to come into your life to forgive you and to serve him as your Lord and Savior. We don't have to do anything because Jesus has done everything. However, we do need to live in the light of all that God has done for us in Christ Jesus. Paul says in Romans 12 verses 1 and 2, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the only reasonable response to what God has done for us is to give our lives to him. I always used to think that was a big issue to surrender my life to Jesus, but actually it's the only thing that we can do to respond to what God has done for us. And in verse 17 and 18, David reflects upon the thoughts of God towards him. David says that if he tried to count them, it would be impossible. Now today, at the 42nd anniversary, we can reflect upon God's love to Osaka International Church. Now I know that God loves Osaka International Church. I know that because he brought me here at considerable cost. I'm happy to be here, but I know he went to a big, big issue to wrench me out of the best seaside town in England to bring me to Japan. Now, it may surprise you to know, but I don't love Japan. It wasn't on my hit list of coming back to. But I love God, and God loves Japan, and God loves Osaka International Church. That's why I love being here. It's because I know God wants me to be here. Okay? And I'm happy to be here. Alright? So God loves Osaka International Church. I know that. And he will continue to supply pastors here when I'm gone. In verses 19 to 22, David, knowing all the powerfulness of God, turns towards his enemies and towards God's enemies. I expect if you're living for Jesus, you'll have enemies. I've got enemies. I've probably got enemies that probably, if they had the opportunity, would kill me. Once you go on the internet, you start preaching the gospel and people plug in around the world, they say, right, we're going to get that McKenna if he ever comes to the Middle East, or if he ever goes there. So that's why I don't like going to some countries, because I know that I wouldn't be very popular. We all have enemies. David had plenty of enemies, and as such, they were against God's anointed David. And David said, I hate these people with a perfect hatred. It's not good to hate people, but if you hate them with a perfect hatred, it seems to be okay. Now this Hebrew word, as I studied it, means complete. Now we're told in the Old Testament and the New Testament that God will actually repay our enemies. And God did this in the life of David. And God will do this in our lives, even though we may not be around to see it. Ultimately, God will judge sin, and nobody will escape. So whoever our enemies are today, or whatever our enemies might do, God will deal with these people. We don't have to do anything. He does it much better than we do. The final part of the psalm ends up where it begins. It ends with David wanting God to search his heart and to give him a spiritual checkup. Is David still loving God from his heart? Remember, that's why God chose him. God didn't choose him for any other reason than he had a heart that was looking after God, or a heart that was searching for God. Is David still loving God? I have a question for me, for everyone here. Are you still loving God from your heart? That is the issue. Because out of the heart, everything else springs. For from within, out of the hearts of men, proceed all these things. If we are still loving God from our heart, then there's a great year ahead for the 43rd year of Osaka International Church. Let God lead us forward as a church to greater things and greater blessings from God. But the issue is, do you still love God from your heart? That's the biggest issue. If you don't, you need to go and see a spiritual doctor. You need to go and see Jesus, because he can change your heart. 1 Corinthians 15 verses 58. Therefore, my brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Maybe you've been serving the Lord in Osaka International Church for 42 years. I can say that it's not been wasted. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It will bring eternal consequences, which you will see with your eyes in the future. Let's pray.